What a great song. Jesus, there's no other name. Listen, no matter what we think, it's Jesus. No matter how much we've grown and how spiritual we are, it's Jesus. It is all Him. Praise the Lord. Well, I've got some really great stuff for you today. So get your spiritual safety belts, take them and click them into place, because you're going to need something to hold you down in the pew. But if you want to jump up and shout and run around the church, that's okay too. We like that here. Amen. So I just want to welcome everybody. I'm going to start in prayer. Father, I just thank you for the group of people, for those that are hearing and seeing right now, Lord Jesus, for those whose hearts are open to understand, Lord, whose ears are open to actually hear in the depths of their being, and that their eyes can see beyond these natural brick and mortar buildings and see your kingdom and you and how you operate and your perspective, Lord. Father, I thank you for those that are listening on the CDs and DVDs and MP3s and out in the world, Lord, that we're growing, that we're settling ourselves down from the cares of this world, and we're pressing in to lay hold of kingdom realities in our lives, that we can be the walking manifestation of the love of God in the world around us, Lord. So, Father, I just thank you for every individual that's participating today in Jesus' name. Amen. God is good. Oh, God is good. You know, it's like you ever tasted a new food and that food was really good? And then, you know, and you have your normal diet and your normal restaurants that you go to, but now this thing, it starts lingering in your mind and you start thinking about it again and going, I think I want to go back to that restaurant. I have one of those restaurants, and those of you who know me know I love it. And don't even ask me where I want to go, because that's the name I name when I say where I want to go. But it's like that in the kingdom of God. When you get a new revelation that really puts life in you, you want more. You hunger for it. It's like hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Do you know we've all been promised righteousness? That it even says that we were given God's righteousness. Not we're made righteous in His sight. That's great. That's really good. But we were given His righteousness. Holy Lord Jesus Christ. So that when we hunger and thirst to have that revelation that we have the righteousness of God, that's who we are, we will be satisfied. We will be filled. But we've kind of got a hunger and thirst for it to lay hold of it. Does that make sense? You know, because somebody can invite you over for dinner and go to a lot of trouble preparing a gorgeous meal for you. But if you come to their house full, you can't really truly enjoy what was labored over to be presented to you. You know what I'm saying? It's the same things with the kingdom of God. Right now, I've got the hoe out, and I'm just kind of whacking the ground a little bit because we're going to plant some deep seeds today. Amen? So I want to get you prepared so that you start coming, all of us, onto the same page, all of us being of the same mind, and all of us going to the same place today. Amen? Because what I'm going to share with you is very, very important and valuable and will transform and activate a faster progression in your spiritual growth. Okay? This will be very, very powerful stuff today. You know where I found it? I just want to let you know. In the Bible. You know what? I want to let you know. This is a treasure trove. It really is. And we all have the same one. A little bit different wording or phrasing, but basically we all have the same one. But you know what it is? It's he who has eyes to see what's in the pages. Because I can look at something and see it one way, and you can look at the exact same thing and see it a different way. I'll just play a little game with you. Do you see that? See that? You guys see that? What do you see? You may see microphone stands. Others of you may say the front of the church. Some might say the wall. Some can say the stage. Some can say that. Can you see those angels standing there? Can you? Can you see those two angels standing right there? Some of you can, some of you can't. To with what eyes do you look when you see? What is your attention on to? What do you see? What do you hear? Where is your attention going when you pay attention? Is it in the natural? Or is it in the spiritual? Or is it in a combination of both? We are spiritual. We are. Amen. And everything we do is grounded and founded from the Spirit. That's the only stuff that makes a difference in the kingdom of God. And out of living from our spirits and manifesting spiritual things, good works come out of us to bless other people with natural and spiritual things, because we bless them with what they can relate to, right? I mean, I can have great intentions, and one of you invite me over to your house, and I see a need when I'm there. You don't even think to ask me to fulfill that need. It's not even on your radar. But when I show up, I see a need, right? When I go away and I decide to bless you and to fulfill that need for you, it is powerful. It's transforming. And it also really makes a connection with the two of us, because I saw something that I could really help you with. The Holy Spirit has stuff for us, and He really wants to help us. He wants to help us to see, He wants to help us to hear, and He wants us to walk in the glory and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have to do something. And I want to let you know, it's easier to speak these words than to do them, unless you prepare your heart. And that's this. Believe God. Believe God. That's a much bigger and broader statement than most of us really can settle down on. Do you believe God? Of course you do. In some areas, at some level, we all believe God. We had to believe God for the forgiveness of our sins, didn't we? We had to. Can any of you prove that your sins are forgiven? None of us can. We can't show that our sins are forgiven to another person. We can't show that to another person. It happens inside of us. A confidence, a reassurance, a knowing that I am clean in the sight of God and I will forever be in His presence is completely by faith, right? But when I operated by that faith, didn't I feel something happen inside of me? Don't I have something different happening? Don't I see with different eyes now? Don't I relate to myself and others a little bit differently now? Yes. Because by faith, I laid hold of a promise of God that there's no way that I could prove it was true except that my heart bore witness that it was true. And by laying hold of that, it transformed my inner and outer person. my inner person believed and has a new identity, and therefore, because that's the real me, my outer person expresses what I truly believe in my inner person. Does that make sense? So, you know a tree by its fruit, right? We know what we believe by how this outward person conducts itself. Amen? Wonderful. None of that is in my notes. So we're going to get to my notes now. Here's what I want to help with. I've shared this with some of you in some detail, some little bits. I meet with a lot of people that have issues and they need help and they need answers and they need problems solved. Some just need a little bit of guidance. Some just need to get it out and let somebody hear. Just to hear, just to know that somebody hears me, that I'm not as messed up as I'm leading myself to believe that I am. So I get it out and it's like, oh, it just kind of straightens it out by itself. Others need real direction for certain things. But what I have noticed that is more and more perplexing is that when I give people spiritual exercises to do, that they'll grow in their spirit, there's something that happens and they don't follow through with them. They'll hear gladly. It makes sense at the moment. They can see how it'll get them to where they want to be. But when they leave my presence, something else happens and they don't do it. They want to do it, but they don't do it. Kind of like this. Do you guys remember Peter, James, and John? They're with Jesus. He's going out to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. Serious moment. Very serious moment. And he says, you guys, you stay here. I'm going to go over there and pray for me. Just pray. This is really hard for me. So just pray and back me up, would you? And he goes over there and prays. He comes back an hour later, and they're all asleep. And Jesus makes a comment. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And what I've learned is that this flesh of ours has a lot more say than it should have. It has a lot more power over us than it should have. And we have to do something about that. Would you like to do something about that? Well, we'll do it together then. Praise God. We will do it together. And I'll give you some exercises, hopefully at the end of this, that you can do. Second thing I have learned about people that I meet with. I can tell them about how to grow spiritually and what they can do to grow spiritually, which I will share some very important things with you today, how to grow spiritually. But here's what I've learned. They don't know how to let go of past hurts. They don't know how to. You can tell them to, but that doesn't mean they know how to. I'm going to give you some steps that I would really enjoy if you would write them down. Even if you don't have a piece of paper, get one of those pencils and a tithe envelope if you need to in front of you. But these steps I'll give you in a little while. I want you to be able to write these down so that when you're by yourself, you can do these things. Because what happens is you'll forget. And when you start wanting to do with these things to help your heart to get free of some emotional things, it clouds up and locks down sometimes. And it'd be good to look at the piece of paper and go, oh, do that. Oh, do that, okay? I want to let you know, Jesus is fine with that. You're not offending him if you're in the moment and then you pull yourself out to look at a piece and then you go back in again. He's fine with that, all right? So I want to give you those steps. So before I do that, I want to dig up this ground a little bit. Do you guys know what it means to believe God?
Trust him.
The word belief and the word faith are very close. Believe is to have faith. To believe is to have faith. Faith is to be persuaded. But the root of that is credit. The word's credit. To believe God is to have credit. To give him credit. And now when we're talking about healing, I want to bring a point to you. Let me just take this one scripture out of the blue. And let me just say this one. I was looking at this. In Hebrews chapter 9, the last verse, it's verse 28. This is what it says. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time. Apart from sin, for salvation. Okay, let me explain what that is. So Jesus came and he died on a cross and paid the price for sin, right? The next time he comes, he's coming for salvation. All right? So to believe means to believe that he's bringing salvation when he comes. Okay? To believe God is to believe that our sins have been forgiven, but we're giving him credit. In other words, this is really exciting. I hope I can unfold this right for you. That means this. That means I can receive my healing today by credit till he comes a second time and redeems my body with his glory. Let me just think about this with you guys. He's coming a second time for salvation. That means he's going to fill my body with glory when he comes. He's going to fill your body with glory. You're created for the glory of God, to house his very presence, his love, his personage, his whole, full, eternal life. You're the temple of. So by faith, or by believing him, we lay hold of that now for a future date when he deposits it fully in us. Are you with me? So he started out by giving us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee or a down payment of what we're fully going to get ourselves. Okay? So let me just explain this. God is so good. He gave us his Spirit as our teacher, as our guide, as our example, as our best friend who consoles and comforts us along this road of learning and reveals the things of Jesus to us so that we start walking now in the fullness of what is to come. We lay hold of it now for the day when he and blows it fully in our bodies, in our flesh bodies. See, his Spirit is ministering to your spirit right now. His invisible self is ministering to your invisible self. And that's where everything that God has for you is in your invisible self. And that's where he teaches you, that's where he shows you, that's where he reveals to you, in your invisible self. But the day is coming when what's been given in your invisible self will take over your natural body and you'll be transformed. So your whole spirit, soul, and body will be preserved blameless before the Lord. Amen? So our healing we're wanting in our physical bodies, right? But our salvation, or rather our health, is in our invisible body, in our invisible person. We have to be able to take the time to move, sit down, settle down, and spend time with God from our spirit. Settle our body down and spend time with God from our spirit. I got a verse for you. I'm going to go back and talk about believe a little bit more, but look at this. Romans 1:9. Holy Lord, you're so good. Romans 1. Are we there? For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. God and Paul operate in Paul's spirit. Got it? Jesus operated with the Father from his spirit. Heaven is in your spirit. Your spirit is seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He moved us there. He conveyed us there. He relocated us there. So you now are in your spirit. The you that you call you, that you talk to, the you that complains or worries, the you that has its own agenda that's going along in this world, that you is actually in heaven, is seated in your spirit. God has relocated you to that place. You had nothing to do with it. You should get Sunday night's message. I kind of unfolded that a lot. On He Took Captivity Captive. He made us sit with Him. He grabbed a hold of all of us. He paid for us by His blood. He bought every one of us, took captivity captive, and made us to sit with Him in heavenly places. That's a reality. Okay? Here's the rub. We can walk out of this building, go have lunch, and never have another thought for that. You know that? And we still are broken. We still have relationship issues. And we still are praying and asking God for stuff. And sometimes it happens and sometimes it doesn't. So I want to help us be able to really get this stuff. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. If you're happy and you know it, smile for me. Thank you. Appreciate that. All right. I know the wheels are turning and the gears are going. So here we go. To pray to God. Ready? So all of that I said, take that now and set that over here. We're going to change channels. Okay? Praying. What is praying? Talking to God. Is that what it is? It's talking to God? You guys good with that answer? Okay. That is a very, 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 very poor explanation of what praying is. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? Let's just say you have what I want. And what I want is a really big deal to me. And you have it. If I just talk to you, is that going to take what's in your possession and put it in my possession? If I'm just talking with you? Mm-mm. There has to be something inside of me that actually places a draw on you. And my words will convey the draw that I have inside of me to place that demand on you. Let my desire or my wish be made known to you that you could give me what you have that I really, really want. And you really want me to have everything that will equip me and enable me to do the work of the ministry and to live a glorious life, being an incredible witness of the goodness of God. Okay? Praying is to wish. To wish to God. To pray to God. To will to God. The word is prosukamai. Okay? Pro means to forward. or to, a motion towards something. You've heard of pro before, right? Professional, probiotics, pronouns, proactive. Pro is the in front, the before, the to. Okay? Sukamaye is to wish, to will, or to pray. So let's just play a little game. Let's throw out everything we've ever learned about praying for 1 second, because I think some of you do this without realizing that you're successful at it, okay? Because you might not look at it this way, but I want to paint a new image so you can have a new idea. When you pray for something, you're actually wishing for it to come to pass, aren't you? You wish it. You want it. In other words, what's a wish? A desire. It's more than a desire, but it is a desire. What's a wish? A wish is a desire for something that you don't have available to you now. A wish is something that you hope to receive. Let me just look real quick. Give me 1 second here. And let me just put up this word here so I can give you an actual definition of the word wish. And an actual definition of the word wish. Well, give me another one. I wish it would work. You're right. Well, I wanted to give you an actual definition. Do you not wish? Let me try that one. Let me change this. I'm sorry. I'm getting there. If I can't get it in the next 2 seconds, I'm going to give up on it. It is. Here it is. It's ekomai, which I told you what it is. It is to wish. And the definition of wish is well, I'm maybe not going to get it for you. There it is. Okay. It's a verb. Feel or express a strong desire or hope for something that is not easily obtainable. Want something that cannot or probably will not happen. We wished for peace. So silently invoke a hope or a desire, especially in a ritualized way. That kind of sounds like prayer. Feel or express a desire to do something. Express a desire for the success or good fortune of someone. They wish her every success. To wish for something is to desire to actually have it, right? So to pray is to truly come to God wanting something. Are you with me? We all do that, don't we? When we pray. But is that really how you're praying? Are you asking for something, or is your heart engaged with God to receive something? Whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, you shall have it. Is that true? Here's my conundrum. A lot of people don't actually believe the Bible. And that's tough. Don't worry, I'm going to show you some things that is really going to help you believe the Bible. A lot of us say things that are written in the book, but we don't actually believe that it works for us because of all the other stuff we have in our hearts, because of all the things that have been modeled to us through the life, because of all the stuff that's packed down inside of us. We have doubt. We have other things that we call true or that we've experienced that has left a mark as being true in our hearts. And then when we read something in the Bible that says something different than what's happened here, we have a conundrum because we'll speak these words because they're in the Bible and we'd never say they weren't true. They're written in the Bible and God said that's real and true. So I'm going to say it's real and true. But this which is in here may not actually believe that. They're right. The fruit in my life is different than what I'm saying out of my mouth. Right? Because we live from our hearts. God's in my spirit, not my mind. He's in my spirit, and I am spiritual. So I have to operate from the spirit. It's the only way to happen. So now, let me go to the next step. Prayer is to wish to God. In other words, to have a real desire for Him to give me something. It may or may not be in words. It may or may not be in words. It doesn't have to be in words. One of the Hebrew words for wish is mouth. So it kind of leads you to believe you're going to be speaking something, right? And all of us know and can go to the bank for sure that if you've ever seen Aladdin, you have to actually speak your three wishes, right, to get them. You can't just think your wishes. You got to speak them. If you ever saw Aladdin and his magic lamp, which has nothing to do with the Bible, by the way. But it has to be spoken. It can be a desire in your heart, but when you take that desire and you use words, it's more powerful. And if you believe what you're saying and desiring, you'll have it. You got to put all three of those things together to make it work. It's like the combination of a lock. You have to have a desire towards God, knowing that He'll actually give it to you in credit. He's going to credit you now with what He's promised to physically fulfill completely at a future date. He's already forgiven our sins so we can have a clear conscience before Him, right? By His stripes, we were healed, right? So now we have to lay hold of that so that that future salvation of when He redeems our body, this physical flesh, with the full glory, then we'll have the physical manifestation of the promise, right? But you and I, by faith, by what pleases God, is to believe Him that it's available right now when we haven't seen it yet. Okay? Because we're spiritual. So we operate off of the premise that when we believe, we actually have it. If I take my credit card and I go down to the store and I have a large enough balance on my card, I can possess a new lawnmower, right, using my credit card, and I've never paid a dime. Why? Credit. Credit is a wonderful thing. I get the thing now with the payment later, right? So I have to believe God now with the results later. Are you with me? That means that it has to be real for me now when there's no proof that it's real because of God being who He is. I actually have faith to God. I actually trust God. And if I actually trust God that He tells me the truth and that I actually will have what I say, then I can say with confidence, not because of me, but because I trust Him. Are you with me? Okay, so we have faith towards God. And when we have faith towards God, we know that whatsoever thing I say, believing that I have what I say, I will have it if I doubt not in my heart. Okay? So, How many of you have prayed to receive a healing in your body and have not gotten it? Okay. How many of you have prayed for a healing in your body of something differently and have gotten it? Me too. What was the difference in the two things? If you can answer that question, I'm telling you, you will be on national TV every day until you go be with the Lord. I will tell you what. If you got the answer. Most of us don't have an answer. That's the conundrum. That's the issue. Because that makes us roll it off onto God. Well, God, I didn't do something he wanted me to do. It wasn't his timing for it yet. Oh, maybe I've got sin in my life somewhere. Okay, and we try to figure out all these things. The truth is, he said this. If you desire and you ask me for it, I will give it to you. But you have to believe me. And to actually believe is where the real rub comes. To actually have faith. He says, when I return, will I find faith? Yes and no. All of us have yes faith and we have no faith. All of us do. There's some things we have faith. We are trusting that it's true that our sins have been paid for and that God's not holding our sins against us. Therefore, we have access into the kingdom of God, right? We got that one. Some of you don't have it yet. I remember the day when I got that one. I'd been a Christian for years, but the day finally dawned on me that I knew, that I knew, that I knew that I would forever be in the kingdom of God, that my name was actually written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and there's no doubt I will be there. And there, I have no intentions of losing my seat whatsoever. I got a reservation, praise God. It's got my name on it. It's called a throne. Praise the Lord. It's mine. Some of you have one and you know for a fact that you have it. But now when it comes to other things, we might not have that faith because our experiences, because of what was modeled to us in our lives, the words that have been spoken over to us, the feelings that have erupted in our bodies, what other people have done to us, what we have done to others, has built an idea inside of us of who we are. But that's the natural person. And this is called the renewing of your mind or the saving of your soul, is that we change that picture. Okay? How many of you have a past? These things that shaped you, modeled you, that others did to you and that you did to them, is it today? Or is it in the past? In the past. So then, is it real? Is it real if it's already in the past? It happened.
It was real.
It was. What makes it real?
Memory.
The fact that you hold it and keep it alive. The fact that you hold it and keep it alive by memorizing, rehearsing, rehashing, and agreeing with it. The devil will prick you. He'll point it out. He'll push it. But do you say yes or no? Is it under the blood? You can say those words, can't you? Is all things passed away and behold, all things are made new? Is that true? I agree. Then why do we carry it still? Why can we remember it and carry it if old things have passed away and all things have been made new? Are you with me? Listen, we are spiritual people. We worship God in our spirit and in truth. Not in word only, in truth. The truth of who you are worships God from your spirit. Okay? So, I'm going to give you some things to help you let that stuff go that might still be clinging to you. Okay? So we'll get it gone. But the point is this, we have to be able to believe God that whatsoever thing we say will come to pass. Okay? Not because you're good. Not because of anything that has to do with your flesh at all. Your flesh has nothing to do with this. You've been moved, as far as God's concerned, out of the flesh and into the Spirit. Your identity, your throne, your seat is in the Spirit. Right? That's why Colossians says we set our minds, place them on things above, not on the things on the earth. Right? It's a choice. It's a retraining of ourselves. Hebrews chapter 5, the last verse, says that we have to train our senses. I think it's probably like around verse 19, whatever the last verse of chapter 5 in Hebrews is. I see some of you writing, I better give you the actual verse. 5:14. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. By reason of use, and that's what I'm going to be showing you, how to use this stuff, how to use your spiritual senses to get much, much, much better result. So the Lord just quickened me to two examples. I want to give you two examples real quick. By the way, I just want to let you know, a surprise. The time change happened today. And everybody came an hour early. I just want to let you know, you didn't realize that. If you believe that, I got a bridge in Florida I want to sell you. London Bridge is falling down. Okay, so here we go. I want more time. Two examples. There was a time in my life that I was at Bible college, and I lived in a motorhome, nice motorhome. I didn't want to buy a house because I was only going to be there for a few years. So I lived in a motorhome. And at that time in my life, I had an abscessed tooth, and it started bothering me really, really bad. Some of you have had pains in your body that have bothered you really, really bad, okay? And I was quoting my scriptures. I was believing God. I was attending Bible college and around very spiritual people that were explaining spiritual things to me from the Bible, giving me a good foundation and grounded in the Word. And I was praying, I was speaking the word, I was crying because it hurt so bad. And these words came out of my mouth. God, please forgive me. My physical body is more real to me than what you've provided for me in my spirit. I was still living from my flesh, trying to lay hold of the promises of God from a fleshly point of view. To me, I had a pain. It was me that was suffering, but it was actually my flesh that was. I've been relocated into the Spirit, and I couldn't separate the two just yet. I was hearing this, and it might be where you guys are at, some of you. You're hearing this, and you know there's a separation between the spirit and the flesh, and that the flesh profits nothing, and you got to set your mind on the things of the spirit for life and peace, but on the flesh, no good thing dwells there. You know, we can say those words, but to move from being flesh and blood and having real serious physical pains to believing God for my healing, it's tough sometimes. Till we renew our minds, or we meet a super anointed person that has a gift of healing, which most all of us wish we would come across, and it's amazing how few there are, to just pray for me and miraculously it's solved and gone. Okay? And some of you do have that gift. You've pressed in and the Holy Spirit has given that to you, and I enjoy people that I meet that exercise the gifts that the Holy Spirit have given to them. It's the second thing I want to say. I had to actually go to the dentist. I had to get antibiotics. And he told me I needed a tooth pulled. And I said, no, Lord, I'm going to use these medications to believe by faith. So that, okay, I failed this time. But get the pain gone, and I'll start working on my faith some more so that I can attack this later on. Okay? I had a seed planted in my heart that I didn't know how to root out. Was that I can endure a lot of things, but an abscessed tooth is too hard for me. That seed got in me from the devil. And it lingered in there. You guys may have some thoughts or beliefs that linger that you don't know to root out yet. And they can be causing the doubt that lays in your heart that what you speak doesn't come to pass because there's another belief system laying there. Years later, I'm in Pueblo, Colorado, again working for that ministry. And I had a little small business called Kettle Corn, which is a sweet and salty popcorn. If you've been to the fair, you've probably had it. And I had a business selling that around town. And I was cleaning out my big kettle one day with my grinder, just cleaning out the pot so it's nice and clean. And something pulled, just a little tug in my back. Okay? Just a little tug. I go, oh, ouch. And I keep on working. Well, that thing just got worse and worse and worse. And I started quoting my scriptures, by his stripes I'm healed, by his stripes I'm healed. God, you healed me. And in the subconscious mind, I'm going, ow, 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 ow. But in my mouth, I'm going, by his stripes I'm healed. I'm suffering this two dialogues going on now. I got two dialogues inside of me. One that believes God, or rather wants to believe God. And another that's experiencing a physical sensation in my body. So I'm trying to speak scriptures, but at the same time, oh, ideas of now I can't lift anything heavy comes. Ideas of how am I going to get this job done? My wife can't do this. It's too heavy for her. And as I'm praying, by his stripes I'm healed, this other dialogue's going on in the background that's making physical concessions for a disability that just happened to me. Are you with me? Two stories at the same time. So then the day goes by, I get done, I finally close down my stand, you know, I sit down and, oh, you know that kind where you can't even hardly breathe because now a bone is out in your spine because a muscle's been torqued down. And it just started progressing worse and worse to where I had to go to the chiropractor and get an x-ray, and she put paddles on my back that heated things up or jiggled muscles or something. Didn't help. She wanted to prescribe medication, but I didn't want any. So I go home and I just say, I'll lay on the bed and I'll just pray. I'm laying on the bed and my back is knotting up. Now the pain is shooting down into my leg. And my leg starts twisting on me. I'm going, this is just really strange. I get up and I look in the mirror. And as I think I'm standing straight up and down, I'm like this. It's really twisted. When I saw that, I go, this is not normal. Listen, this is important. I said, this is not normal. This ow, 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 ow voice, I can't do this, I can't do that, was talking. By his stripes I'm healed. Then this new thought is coming to me. This is not normal. And I'm laying on my bed, and as my leg, the pain went through my body into my leg, and my leg started twisting all by itself, and I couldn't stop it. I had this great revelation. This is demonic. This is demonic. And I said, devil, in the name of Jesus, you loose my body. And you know what? It was so exciting. Nothing happened. I still had pain. It was hard. And I said, devil, I've discovered you. I thought it was me pulling a muscle. But I've discovered you're doing this to me. You're making this happen. And I said, in the name of Jesus, this will not be so. I am healed by Jesus Christ. And I had to go preach that night. So I'm doing the best I can, and I'll do this. I was sitting on my chair in the front row, and you know how when your back is hurting really bad, you sit right on the edge of the seat, and you're sitting straight up, and you're breathing real shallow. That's what I was doing. And I had to go up and preach. So I stand up. And I'm walking up on the stage, I get behind the pulpit, and I start my message. I don't know when it happened or where it happened, but it all left, completely left as I was preaching. That proved something to me, that it really is demonic, earthly, and sensual of my feelings. It really is not my spirit man of who I am. It's an attack against me. And anything that you have in your body is most likely attack against you. It's not you. You didn't cause it, even though you may have done something silly, or your training or thoughts say that you provoked it and brought it on. It's still an attack. You have been trained your whole life by the spirit of this world on what your physical body is. And God says, no, you need to deny that. Lay it aside and walk as a new creation in Christ. That's who we are. So we have to do this. So now, since I'm at this time, I want to give you the steps to how to deal with your inner emotional things. And I want to give you an exercise, and I hope you take good notes, on how to clearly connect with God for your healing. Okay? So, the removing the doubt that's in us is key. It's one of the big things. We got to believe that what we say actually comes to pass. So we need to remove the obstacles, the other things we've been trained that are real and true, that are counter that, like this one. Jesus walked on water. You and I can also, because Peter did. So we can't even say the divinity of God because the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. We can't let that logic stop it. Peter did. Okay? So, there are natural laws, natural way you've been trained, natural ways the world thinks, and we're going to supersede those rules. Go to higher rules that void these ones out. Okay? What happens is we've got stuff that clings into our heart that has actually happened, and we pack it around with us and keep it. We got to get rid of it. It's easy to get rid of. I don't care how long you've been carrying it. It's easy to get rid of. So I'm going to show you how to get rid of it right now. Are you ready? Okay. Pick an event, something that harmed you emotionally, that scarred you, that created an image in you of worthlessness, of fear, of guilt or shame, whatever it is, and it stays with you and shows back up again. Get one of those things. Ready? Number one, identify the emotion. Whatever it is, fear, guilt, shame, anger, terror, sadness, identify that emotion. Two, give that emotion to Jesus. So I've come to a situation that I remember that this thing lingers in me, and I come up against it, and it short circuits me to be able to grow and to believe God more. So I identify what that feeling is, what that emotion is that I'm feeling that keeps that thing alive inside of me, and I give that to Jesus. Jesus, I give you this fear and this terror that came from my dad beating me. Whatever it is. From the car crash, from being molested, whatever it is, okay? Give it to Jesus. Number three, ask him to heal the wound in your soul. This is the part that a lot of people don't do. Ask him to heal the wound in your soul. He's our healer. Right? He wants your soul saved, doesn't he? He'll heal it. He absolutely will take it and heal it. Guaranteed. You guys don't even have to worry about it. This absolutely works every single time. You don't even have to worry about it. It truly does every time. He's that faithful. Number four, thank him. scriptures for this? Isaiah 53. He bore our griefs and our sorrows, our emotional wounds. Okay? So whether it's you or another person, let me just tell you, it's very difficult to unilaterally across the board forgive somebody for what they did. It's more effective to forgive the actual events that you can recall that the transaction took place and heal that, right? If you heal that moment, it disappears. You heal this other moment, that disappears. Jesus takes it and he heals it in your heart and it comes clean. After you do a few of those, he'll start looking for stuff because you'll get such relief. Ready? Let's do it together. Let's pick one, and each one of you can do it yourself. You don't need to speak out loud. You can just do it under your breath. It works just as great under your breath. That's how good God is. So if you just take a moment when something had happened to you, then identify the emotion. How do you feel? When that happened, how did it make you feel? Acknowledge that feeling, then give that to Jesus. Jesus, I give you this feeling right here. Take it. Then Jesus, please heal that spot in my soul. Take that wound out. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. As you do those, you'll notice that if you revisit that emotion, that situation, it won't have the sting that it had. Now, sometimes the feeling will change. That one feeling's gone, he'll heal it, but you'll have another one right next to it in the same thing. Just clean that one up the exact same way. None of these are hard. He'll always do it. You just keep it up and keep cleaning. It's like scrubbing a stain. Sometimes a quick wipe will do it. Sometimes you got to do a little scrubbing. But you got a desire to actually remove it. If you actually remove it, he will take it out. Okay? But you're going to want to. So that's for emotional ones, all right? So now I want to help you. Step two, other side of the coin, this is believing God now. Because whatever we say comes to pass if we believe without doubting in our hearts. So here's what I need you to do next. We're going to do an exercise real quickly. We are going to operate in our spirit for just a moment, allowing us to see and to hear God in our invisible person, because that's where we worship God at, okay? So we're going to be able to do this quietly to yourself. So I want you to think of something that you want to ask the Lord for. What's your wish? What's your desire? What is it you want to receive from him? Okay? Now remember, we have to actually believe God. And I'm under the assumption that a majority of people don't actually believe God. They say they do and they want to, but we would have the results if we actually believed, okay? So we want to believe, but there's a little bit of difficulty there. I'd like to remove that thickness and that dullness for you now. So here's what we do. Find out what we want to believe God for. Now, close your eyes, your natural eyes. Bow your natural heads. I want you to open your spiritual eyes. I want you to see yourself before the throne of God. This is his throne of grace that you're coming to in your time of need. This is his throne of goodness and of favor in your time of need. That he wants to give this to you. He desires for you to have it. So as you're before him in that throne, ask him for it. See it coming to pass. See him being that good and giving it to you. Feel the emotion of having received it from him. The joy that fills you from his goodness, that he so willingly gave you what you asked. Thank him and rejoice with it. Tell him how good he is. Tell him how thankful you are that he's your God. As you come out of that throne room, you're walking around the grounds of heaven. I want you to see people walking around the grounds of heaven too. And I want you to tell them how great God is and tell them what he just gave you. See the look on their face, how excited they are and how they're congratulating you and how you're showing them how really great God is as you're praising him with them and they start rejoicing with you with the goodness of God. Feel what that's like. Thank you, Lord. Okay, start slowly coming back into the room, into here. How many of you could do that? Okay, now listen to me. That's praying. That's what praying is. Praying is you take your invisible person, you bring your desire before the throne of grace, and you let your request be made known to God, who will give you whatsoever thing you ask for, with a thankful heart. Okay? Do that, and do that, and do that, and do that as a regular way of life. Just what happens is we've kind of convoluted or shrank it down to just speaking, Lord, heal him. And we haven't got all the groundwork behind those words. We need to have the groundwork behind those words from the relationship of his goodness, that when we speak those words, we have confidence they absolutely come to pass. And they can't be voided or disqualified. They will come to pass because you spoke them, because you've been in the presence of God. And I would encourage you to continue in the presence of God. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians that you pray without ceasing. That's uninterrupted continually for a segment of time, for a thing. In other words, until you see it manifest in the natural, you keep going to his presence, you keep receiving, you keep thanking, you keep praising, because you're planting seeds in the invisible that are going to grow up and manifest in the natural. The more you do it, the realer it becomes to you as you're building a new belief system in your heart that's without doubt and continuing in that faith, and that'll get bigger and stronger, and you'll be able to do it more quickly, that like Peter did when he came to whatever her name was, Talibiatha or whatever, whose name was Dorcas, who was dead, he kneeled down, he wished or prayed before God, and she came back to life. Okay? You can have that same result. Jesus, the Bible doesn't say how long it took him to get results. It only says he did. Our natural minds, because we're microwave generations, slot machine generations, put in a quarter, pull the arm, get our treasure. Because of that, we think it was instantaneous. Our mind just goes there. It may not have been. He may have had to work with them a little while. It doesn't say. It only says they actually got it. So you do it until you actually get it. The more you get it, the quicker it'll come, and the more frequently, and the more you can expand on that. Are you with me? Amen. I love you. I'm going to pray. Father, I love you. We all love you, Lord. Father, we all consider ourselves believers, Lord. We consider ourselves believers, that we believe you. So Lord, as we sit down and worship you, raising our hands, coming into your presence, acknowledging you and having all of our faculties trained to be able to discern both good and evil, all of it, Lord, that we can see and know it, Lord, that as we come into your presence, our spiritual eyes open, our spiritual ears open, our hearts open to understanding you, Lord, and your ways. That truly the old things have passed away, and we're new creations, Lord. As we start operating on these new principles, this new way of being, Lord, that you father us, that our teacher, you Holy Spirit, reveal to us, and that you, Jesus, provided for us. We actually acknowledge this and live in this, Lord, that it would become our dominant way of life. And I just thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.